This morning, our second lesson comes to us from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Galatian church. I'm reading from chapter 2, verses 15 through 21. And the context of this passage is the conflict in the early church. It wasn't just all rose petals and lollipops with those people. They had their problems, and the problems were between the people who were coming to faith who were not Jewish and the people who were coming to faith in Christ who were Jewish. And the people who were Jewish wanted the people who were not Jewish to kind of become Jewish before they could become followers of Christ. And so Paul is addressing this conflict between these two groups in this passage. So listen to what he has to say. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is justified not by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Jesus Christ so that we might be justified by faith in Christ, not by doing works of the law. No one will be justified by the works of the law. But if in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. God of grace, be with us this morning as we hear your word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may be not only hearers, but doers of your word. Amen. We are living in uncertain times, to say the least. And many of us are worried about the direction that our country is headed. This very week, our president is in Singapore, and he is in a conference, a meeting with the leader of North Korea, with Kim Jong-un. And we wonder what is going to transpire. We have a president who seemingly has no filters. He just says or tweets whatever he thinks at the moment. He's often uninformed, and he says things that are inaccurate or hurtful. Most of the people in our country don't like the tone that our president uses. But there are many in our country who, even though they might not like the tone he uses, feel hopeful that he will do something different that will bring about good things for our country, that he will bring about much needed change. This remains to be seen. We don't know. So we watch and we wait and we pray. Last week when we were in worship, we talked about Jesus coming to break down the walls of hostility between different factions In Jesus' day, it was between Jews and non-Jews, Jews and Gentiles. And the followers of Jesus saw Jesus being friends with people on each side of the wall. Jesus was friends with the Jews, and that's to be expected. Jesus was Jewish. But Jesus was also friends with people on the other side of the wall. These two did not speak to one another, but Jesus crossed over and was friends with all people, regardless of nationality, religion, social status, or gender. And the amazing thing that happened was the followers of Jesus caught it after his death. And we talked about how the early house churches were a combination of all of these people. And if you peeked in the window of one of those house church meetings, you might be surprised at the diversity that you would see there. Welcoming our neighbors, loving our neighbors, is the core of Jesus' message. Yet even with these walls of discrimination breaking down in the early church, there was still conflict. Oh my goodness, it wouldn't be a church without that, would it? There was a struggle between, again, these two groups, the Christians that had come, the Jewish people that had come to faith, thought that everybody else could certainly come to faith as well, but they needed to pick up the Jewish traditions and the Jewish practice, namely the tradition of circumcision for the men. And they insisted that to follow Christ, they needed to take on this Jewish aspect of religion as well. And Paul jumps in and he speaks forcefully and says, no, Jesus has done away with that division as well. We are to put our faith in Christ and to follow Christ. Faith in Christ is enough. We don't need the other rules and laws. He tells them that we don't come to God by anything that we do. We come by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who brings us the freedom to accept one another. Jesus came to bring that freedom, not to make new rules for us to follow, not even to make a new religion. Jesus came to show us how to love each other and how to love God. Theologian Reinhold Niebuhr tells a wonderful story that helps us get a picture of this. He says when he was a child, he spent a day with his grandmother. And then he writes, toward evening, a severe storm began. And my grandmother and I wondered how I was going to get home at the end of the day. And there was a knock on the door. And his grandmother opened the door, and there was his father standing there in a big blue raincoat. And he and young Reinhold opened the door and went to go out to go home. And as they were doing that, Reinhold's father said to him, son, duck under my raincoat where you can stay dry. So I slipped under the coat, he says, and I reached up and I took his hand in mine. I couldn't see a thing as we walked toward home. We sloshed through mud puddles, through water puddles, the rain was coming down, the thunder was clapping, it was loud and noisy and frightening, and I held on tightly to my father's hand. I didn't complain about the darkness, he says. I was covered with my father's raincoat, and though it was dark, and though I couldn't see, I knew that my father could see, and he knew the way. He knew where we were going. and that was enough for me. In a little bit, the coat parted, and Reinhold was home. He stepped out, and he was greeted by the smiling face of his mother and a warm fire in the fireplace in their living room. He said, "I knew I was safe. My father had brought me home. But then where else would he take me?" So it is with our Heavenly Father. If we trust him, he will lead us through the storm. He will lead us home to God's loving grace. How many times have we entered the darkness of our own life? Maybe we've experienced a divorce, that painful, gut-wrenching separation. Maybe we've lost a loved one, a spouse, a parent, a child, a friend that is very dear to us. Maybe we have been betrayed by someone who we thought we could trust. Maybe we endured a time of financial hardship. During these times, we have felt terribly alone and in deep darkness. And yet, God has a raincoat waiting to be opened for us, waiting to invite us inside, waiting for us to take God's hand. We use this kind of language, but we wonder how really practically do we hold God's hand? What is that like? Well, one of my favorite stories in the Gospels gives us a little bit of a hint. And this story is recorded in three of the Gospels, so we know that it's an important story. It's about a woman who has been bleeding. She's been hemorrhaging for 12 years. And she has tried everything she can think of and used all of her resources to become healed, but to no avail. And one day, in desperation, she decides to try something different. She looks out her window, and there are throngs of people in her village. Jesus has come to town. And maybe she's heard of Jesus' healings. And so she goes out, and she gets into that crowd, and she's jostled, and she works her way to the front of the crowd. And here's what she thinks. She thinks, you know, I wonder if I could just touch the hem of his garment. I think I would be healed. He doesn't have to say anything to me. If I just could touch his cloak, I know I would be healed. And so she does. She gets just close enough, and she reaches out, and she touches his cloak. And then comes the crazy part of this story, the part I love. Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples, they're kind of flummoxed, and they say, "Well, Jesus, everyone's touching you. What do you mean?" And Jesus says, "No, I felt power go out of me." Jesus says, "I know someone touched me in a different way." And the woman is trembling, and she's in fear and cowering. She comes before Jesus, and she confesses. She says, "I did it. And I have been healed because I touched your cloak." And Jesus looked at her tenderly, and he called her by a very sweet and personal name. He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go now in peace." I love that story of her faith and of Jesus' grace. There are over 30 of these kinds of stories in the gospel accounts. There's a man who was blind. There was a woman whose daughter was healed. There was a Roman centurion who believed that Jesus could heal his servant, not even by coming to his house, but from a distance. Jesus could just say the word and his servant would be healed. Jesus commended every one of these people for their faith. They were healed because of their faith. Jesus is telling us the way we have faith is to want it, to desire it. We stretch our hand out into the darkness. We want the presence of God in our lives. We want to receive God's grace. That's how we reach out and put our hand in God's hand. Well, you may say, I've been reaching and calling out to God for a long time, and I've been praying, and I certainly haven't heard God's voice. I haven't been healed. And I would be not truthful with you if I didn't acknowledge that this is true. But I want to tell you to take heart. I recently read a book written about Mother Teresa, not by her, but about her. And the editors of this book took readings from her journals and from her personal letters to a very small group of people who were her confidants, maybe 4 or 5 people to whom she poured out her soul. And she writes in these works of her anguish that lasted over 20 years. And her anguish was this. She would pray to God faithfully every single day, multiple times a day, and never hear the voice of God back. She never felt the presence of God for the last 20 years of her life. Now, that may sound shocking to you because we think of Mother Teresa and God just hand in hand, in communication with one another. Mother Teresa was in prayer every day, but she did not hear the voice of God back. Her book is called Come Be My Light, and that was her prayer, for she felt she was in darkness. But the interesting thing was, she never lost her faith. She always believed that God was present. And she always believed in the work that God called her to do, to minister to the poorest of the poor. And that's what she did. She lived out that faith every day, even in her anguish. Friends, we don't understand the ways of God, and I think we're arrogant if we say that we do. We don't understand how God works or why. And sometimes we may be told that God isn't present in our lives because we don't have enough faith. Don't you ever, ever believe that. God does not depend upon us. God is divine mystery. God comes to us in God's own time and in God's own way. Faith requires nothing of us but to recognize that God is God. So what about these people that tell us we don't have enough faith? How much do we need anyway? Well, again, Jesus tells us with a story. And he tells us in a parable about a mustard seed. And he says, if you have even as much faith as this tiny, tiny little seed, I don't know if you've ever held a mustard seed in your hand or seen one in those little plastic encased necklaces. They're very, very tiny little seed. And Jesus explained to him how this little seed of faith would grow and grow into a large shrub, and it would house birds. It would do something useful. Apparently, according to Jesus, we don't need a huge amount of faith to experience the grace of God. A few years ago, I preached a sermon in my church on the parable of the mustard seed. And I had a little clay dish, and I filled it with mustard seeds. And during the sermon, I had the ushers just pass it around to members of the congregation. And they could take out a seed if they wanted and hold it or do whatever they wanted to do with it. I didn't really care or give them instructions. Well, two of my members, two different people, took their seed home and they planted it. And with great delight, they brought me pictures of their plants. And these crazy mustard seeds were sprawling all over their kitchen window in one case and on a table in another, just going everywhere. You just couldn't imagine this tiny little seed had turned into a plant as big as it did. We don't need to come to God as full-grown mustard plants. A little seed is good enough. I have seen that mustard seed faith lived out through a beloved member of this congregation, Pam Byers, who's now gone home to be with God. I knew Pam not as well as probably many of you in the church, but I loved her too, and I'm sad that she's gone. I met Pam while I was on staff at Calvary, across the way here, and would talk to her now and again. And one day I went down to talk with her about Covenant Network. And I knew about her work with Covenant Network, and I know that Covenant Network started as a small seed of faith right here at Old First. And for those of you that don't know, it's an organization that seeks justice for gay and lesbian people. And at the time that it was begun, in particular for pastors, for candidates for ministry who were excluded from the church because they lived with the person that God gave them to love. Well, one day as I was downstairs at Calvary, Pam and I were talking, and I was asking her about Covenant Network and what was going on and what she was doing. And she said, have you ever seen our office? And I said, no, I kind of know where it is, but I've never been in it. She said, come on down the hall with me and let's take a look. So I walked down the hall with her, and she opened the door, and in this little, there was a little tiny room. Maybe many of you or some of you have seen it. There was a desk in it, and I think some office machines and maybe a table. I'm not sure. There were no windows. It wasn't the most beautiful room in the church, I have to tell you. And she said, welcome to the worldwide headquarters of Covenant Network. And I laughed also. And I thought, you know, she's right. The word goes out from this little room into the world. Letters, conferences are planned. All kinds of things happened from this little tiny room, this little tiny world headquarters. Faith the size of a mustard seed. Covenant Network is a prime example of what that looks like. I'm happy to say, after 35 years of debate, the Presbyterian Church finally did vote to receive candidates for ministry with no dividing walls, into the Presbyterian Church. It took forever. There were lots of ups and downs. There were lots of disappointing days. There were lots of disappointing votes. But finally, in the end, the dividing wall came down. And justice and goodness and rightness prevailed. This is what faith looks like. Faith leads us home to grace. Raincoat theology doesn't guarantee that there will be no storms coming into our lives. There will be storms. They will threaten us, they will knock us off our feet, and they will come as sure as rain. There will be times when the wind is howling. There will be times when we're walking through muck and mud and puddles. Our socks will be squishy. The lightning will flash. The thunder will boom. The rain will be beating down so hard we cannot even see in front of us. We will be hemmed in by circumstances that were not of our own making, things that we cannot control. We are afraid to go out, yet we know if we stay put, we'll be stuck. We stumble through the dark, and we slosh through the puddles. How do we show the faith that we believe, that little grain of mustard seed? We do it this way. We honor one another. We seek justice. We love one another. And we trust that good will prevail. These times in our country, we don't know where we're going. Sometimes it feels too dark to see. But we still hang on to the hand that reaches for our hand. We hang on for dear life, no matter how small the amount of faith is that we have. Even if we are barely hanging on, we still prevail. And that, my friends, is the faith that leads us to grace. It is the faith that leads us home. Amen.